Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We are live and local in your ears, and I promise you that we will provide you with marginal sports talk radio all night long. We are taking the sports out of sports radio, but there is stuff going on amazingly. Every day there's something new here to discuss, including this NBA story, which caught my attention. And, listen, this is obviously low on the list of things that people should be worrying about, but in our little world, it makes for some good conversation on the radio, or at least some decent, non-crummy conversation on the radio. So let me explain. I've been very vague here. Let me explain the situation. All right, so we are told the NBA as a whole, the operations of the National Basketball Association, they have to play a minimum of 70 games this season for the players to get paid their entire contract for the year. Now, the NBA has not guaranteed they're going to pay out the salaries without getting to that magical number. Semi-retired NBA insider Peter Vesey, tells us that if the NBA plays less than that 70-game number, then the contracts, they go to a prorated format. It's in the fine print. It's in the minutia at the bottom of the contract. Now, Pete Vesey, for those of you that don't know who the hell he is, if you're young, he was the Woj before Woj. He was the groundbreaking guy that, one of the first guys I know that got paid to call into radio shows as an NBA insider in New York. And Peter Vesey is not doing much these days. He occasionally sends stuff out, but he has the story. As of today, the all-encompassing NBA, the almighty NBA, teams have played anywhere from 63 to 67 games. No team has hit the 70-game mark. Not a single team has played 70 games, which obviously we have to be two most likely, but which leads us down a rabbit hole of speculation. In order to get the rest of the paper, right, the United States currency, there is talk of having the league relocate. You might have heard this over the last couple of days. There's talk of having the league relocate at some point, sometime in, say, June, to a centralized location in a random destination in the United States in a quarantine-like environment where all of the 30 teams in the NBA and all of their players and the coaches, the training staff, the broadcasters unite as one and form Voltron, and then play out the regular season and hold the postseason there. It's a way to get to that 70-game marker and then also have the postseason. So let us discuss the question, would NBA players sign off on this wild, out-of-the-box plan if it ends up being the only way to get the full amount of salary and the revenue that the NBA needs, they claim, to pay said salaries. Now, a lot of people think these NBA players are so spoiled and they've lived in the lap of luxury for so long that this is not going to be the case. I disagree. I think they will find a compromise if it comes down to that scenario, which we all hope it doesn't come down to. But if it does come down to that, I believe they will. And my observation is you've got Lemons, Totem Pole, and Quagmire. And we will combine all these things together and we'll pay tribute to the great cartoon. Many great cartoons, but the Quagmire character from the Family Guy. Anyway, so number one. These are, without going any deeper, I think we all are experiencing the same thing. These are rather interesting times that we're living through, and this, in terms of the little sports window that we are keeping a watchdog eye over, this is an unprecedented situation in modern sports, right? So you have to be flexible. It really comes down to the fact that this, as of right now, is the only solution to the issue for the NBA, other than just the players saying, okay, we don't need the extra money, we're good. and it's a lot of money and a lot of money on the table. But there's a saying that does apply here, and it's not just the NBA, but the NFL, Major League Baseball. And listen, quite frankly, you and your life and your situation, me and my situation, when life gives you lemons, you got to find a way to make lemonade, right? I mean, there's some different version of that. Bill Parcells had a famous quote when he was the guy in charge of the Cowboys, and he was mocking, I think it was the Cowboys, he might have been with the Patriots, but I think he was with the Cowboys at the time when he said, trying to make chicken salad out of chicken blank, the chicken fertilizer, if you will. But the vast majority of these NBA players, let's stay focused, stay in your lane. The vast majority of these NBA players, listen, the minimum salary is rich in the NBA, and it just goes up from there. But the problem, and this is the reason I believe they will find a way to play in some ridiculous setup somewhere in Podunk, USA, is because the people who are making this money have already allocated the money. The players have allocated the money. Just like when you think you're going to make a certain amount of money during the year, chances are you also allocate how much money you're going to make, just like I do. I think we all do that. Pretty sure that they do not have a rainy day fund set up. Not that we're going to lose any sleep over these guys not having a rainy day fund, which means that they're going to need every dime, not a dime back, from these NBA contracts. Now, the second thing here, and this is where it gets interesting, it's not a level playing field. Since teams have played a different number of games, depending on where they're located, every game matters more for certain teams, but they all have to get to that 70-game threshold, supposedly. But let's use the Spurs and the Lakers as our template. Okay, we're going to use the Spurs and Lakers as our template. San Antonio and Los Angeles have both played only 63 games. They're at the low end of the totem pole. Now, what does that mean in dollars and cents? All right, I'm very excited you asked. It's time now for a Maller Math lesson. Maller Math 101. Are you ready? Yes. All right, so DeMar DeRozan, highest paid player in San Antonio at $27.7 million, followed by LaMarcus Aldridge. He's making a cool $26 million for the Spurs. All right, so let's assume these guys get paid per game. If the NBA doesn't come back, how much moolah are we talking about? Now, for DeMar DeRozan, he gets paid, this is amazing, $338,000 per game. So prorated, he would lose $2.3 million in income. LaMarcus Aldridge, who's a little less than that, he would lose $2.2 million in income. But wait, there's more. The Lakers, we mentioned them. They've already played 63 games, so they're on the low end of this. What about King James? LeBron James is making a salary of $37.4 million this season to play basketball in Los Angeles. The arithmetic, the Maller math lesson works like this. LeBron James earns almost half a million dollars per game. He earns $456,547.04 per game. Prorated over seven games, LeBron would lose $3.1 million in income if the NBA doesn't get to that 70-game threshold. That's based on that particular number, because if they get to 70, then they can pay for the full amount. You see the math on that, and the mansions, the sports cars. The bigger problem is not just the mansions and the sports cars. It's the army of trainers, the chefs, the meathead security guys, and all the others that are riding the coattails of someone like LeBron James. It's not easy, man. A lot of people like to jump on that gravy train express. And those people want to get paid. Everyone wants to get paid. Everyone's got their hand out. All right, final point. So what's the solution? Now, that we go back to the financial quagmire that the NBA is facing. The NBA would have to schedule between 3 and 7, in air quotes, warm-up games before the playoffs. This really wonky playoff setup would happen, right, where you'd have it in some random location. You got to think of this like it's like the worst barnstorming tour ever, because typically a barnstorming tour, you go around to try to get people to come out and watch your games. But if the NBA does this, they'd be hitting some small town. You know, it's like the politicians that go to the small town, the fair and the fish fry and all that. But this is social distancing. So you'd be locked in a city that's not a big metropolis, because if you look at the map, which is out there, there's a big part of the middle part of the United States where the coronavirus is not running rampant like it is in New York City or parts of California or Washington State, a few other places, where it's not that big a problem at this particular moment. And so you can say, well, okay, look at the map, and there's enough. Boy, wouldn't it be something if the NBA went to some rural, isolated situation? Now, there's got to be at least the size of a college town. But I looked, I've got the map here. All right, so I've got four options for a hostile takeover by the NBA where they just move in, take up all the hotel rooms, and they play in college arenas in front of no fans, but they put TV cameras in there and they broadcast the games because they got to get that revenue, got to get that money. I got Omaha, Nebraska. I've got that on my list. Fargo, North Dakota. How about the NBA taking over Fargo? Some other destinations that are not that impacted according to the map that we have here. Boise, Idaho. See the NBA embedding in Boise for a month and a half or so, roughly about that time to play all these games. Hattiesburg, Mississippi. That's also a city that's not affected, according to the map here, by this. Panama City, Florida. Our guy Jed Who Fled, who used to call the show in Panama City. That's another location in the panhandle of Florida that is not overly affected. Listen, all of these places have very few or no reported cases of the coronavirus. So could you imagine, boy, wouldn't that be great if the NBA rolled into Fargo, North Dakota with a bunch of buses and said, here we are, we're going to plant our flag in Fargo. Yeah, listen, desperate times call for desperate measures, right? Again, you got to get to that 70-game number, supposedly. Now, equally important, and it needs to be mentioned here, is that not just the 70 games for the regular season, but the TV partners, from what I understand, that is a bigger concern. The NBA owners are not really worried about the players' salary. They're more concerned about their piece of the pie, the TV contracts also being prorated. And if you know anything about how this works, and you obviously do, you're listening to a sports talk radio show during a pandemic, when the lion's share of the TV money comes in, it's based on the playoffs. That's where the ratings are generated. That's where the buzz is in the NBA. And so that's the problem. Like they got to find a way to pacify the TV partners at ABC/ESPN and Turner that pay the bills. And, of course, all of this is a moot point if the social distancing fails and the CDC doesn't start removing the restrictions by a certain arbitrary date, whether it's June 1st or whatever, and then all this, you can just wipe it down the toilet with your very valuable toilet paper. The most valuable thing. Who knew when we were little kids that in 2020, toilet paper would be so valuable? If only we had known.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hope you're doing well. We're back at it again this hour, and we'll do something a little different. Now, I've done many Maller monologues over the years on King James, LeBron James. This is the first time I've ever done a Maller monologue about the Tiger King, but on the recommendation of the Coop de Loop and others, I spent roughly 7 hours of my weekend. I finished it up, the Tiger King trilogy and then some on Netflix. And now, if you haven't seen it yet, you're in the minority here. But if I'm going to give a bunch of spoilers away. So if you're still planning on watching it, you probably won't want to watch it after this. It seems like most people saw it by now. Seems like most people have already seen it. And some people are watching it again. The memes are all over the internet. So it is time now for another critically acclaimed Maller film review. Man versus Beast. Although not really head-to-head competition, because these guys have like guns and shoot the beast. But Man versus Beast, the classical tale of sports, competition and all that stuff. It turns out, if you are in the small minority of people that haven't seen it, Tiger King, which is a docuseries on Netflix, it actually debuted back on March 20th. So it's been out for over 10 days, and usually people watch this stuff right away. It is the most popular current TV show, according to Rotten Tomatoes. This is number one, is the Tiger King. In fact, it's critically acclaimed, 97% critics rating, if that means something for you, 96% audience score, whatever the hell that is on Rotten Tomatoes, and it is, according to Netflix, it is ahead of everything else. Ozark, Season 3, it's ahead of that. USA Network, there's a show, I've never seen it, called Queen of the South. I have no idea what that is. That's highly rated. I guess that's Season 4. And USA's got the Sinner, Season 3, which is also among the highly rated shows. I have not seen any of these shows other than The Tiger King. But wait, there's more. According to Netflix, their own daily ratings, their rankings that come out, Tiger King is the number one most watched title in the United States on that mammoth, gigantic platform that they have. And it's been in the top 10 for the past week. Anyway, so let us discuss. Time now for the Maller Film Review on the scale of documentaries rating 1 to 10, with 10 being the likes of a couple years ago, Get Me, Roger Stone, McMillions from more recently, and Super Size Me, Holy Chicken. I am giving the Tiger King docuseries a 10. It gets a 10. It was outstanding. I loved it. I couldn't wait for the next episode. I've got Oddballs, Arch Rivals, and Expired Meat. And we'll connect all this together like Legos. Now, first of all, if you know anything about good television, just by watching it, you would know about this, or movies for that matter. Any kind of entertainment like this, it's all about compelling characters, right? You need good guys, bad guys, right? That's how this stuff works. And typically in a documentary setting, it's hard to get that because, you know, it's real life and these are not cartoon characters, unless you find and stumble in to what the creators of this, or the makers of this documentary, stumbled into. This guy, Joe Exotic, is a real life cartoon character. And the filmmakers, they fell into an oil reserve, is what they did with this guy. And not just him. He was surrounded by a bunch of whack jobs and oddballs. These people were so nuts. It actually felt more like a movie than it did a documentary. I actually have seen some stuff where people say, "Wow, that wasn't real. They gussed it up for the documentary series." I haven't investigated that. I don't know if that's true or not. Now, I do think that I love documentaries, but I do realize that some of it is staged for the documentary, the recreations and whatnot. So I'm not saying that didn't happen. And you know, you can't believe everything you see is actually happening the way that it's being described in these things, so you have to have some kind of a cynical outlook. With that being said, this guy, Joe Exotic, I don't know how much you had to guss him up, right? The headliner here, and again, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, how could you miss this guy? He's a flamboyantly gay, mulleted character, very eccentric, very outgoing, carries a gun around with him in Oklahoma. He's a polygamist, the whole thing. Likes country music. I mean, every cliche, every stereotype you could possibly throw out there is covered. They cover all the bases here. And so the guy, anyway, if you've not seen it, the guy, he runs a roadside zoo in Oklahoma. And they just got all these massively impressive big cats, right? Tigers and lions, me oh my. And this guy, you know what he reminded me of? He reminded me of like a mix between Doc Mike, Weed Man Hippie, and a couple of other people that call this show. And I said this the other day on a previous episode. I would be shocked if Joe Exotic did not at some point listen to the show. This is the kind of guy that would listen to our show and might be listening right now. He's incarcerated in Oklahoma. And that's the part of the story which is hilarious. Like, his dream, based on just knowing a little bit about the documentary, his dream, the way they played it out, was to be famous. He finally gets what he wants, and he's locked up for probably the bulk of the rest of his life. He's locked up in Oklahoma. Now, secondly, the story takes a couple of twists, which is good, right? You're going to have a 7-part or whatever it was docuseries. You're going to have some twists and some turns, but it takes a roll to the dark side when this guy Joe Exotic battles the animal rights wacko, this Carol Baskin.
See, and it's crazy because you got, like, she's like an evil character, but Joe Exotic's got good and evil at the same time. And but not to give the whole thing away, but she owns a big cat sanctuary, and she's on a mission to shut down Joe Exotic, and then he just wants to kill her. And they go back and forth, and then, you know, the way the docuseries presented it, that she killed her ex-husband, she inherited the money. Reminds me of a tale I heard years ago, the L.A. Rams, right? The old owner of the L.A. Rams. The reason they were briefly owned by Giorgio Franieri, the legend is that there was a swimming accident that happened by Carol Rosenbloom, the guy that had owned the Rams. But he was supposedly a very good swimmer, and he drowned. And many people were, I remember when I was younger, people were convinced that there was something going on with that. But the story documents the battles. It's very entertaining. The back and forth between these arch rivals as they duke it out. And it eventually leads to this guy, Joe Exotic, getting arrested and in connection for a murder for a hire plot and a bunch of other charges and all that. But it's the other characters also. Like, he's nuts and he's crazy. This guy, Doc, who's like the big cat whisperer, and he's a polygamist. This other dude, Jeff, who he comes in, and after several episodes have already aired, he comes in towards the middle part of this thing, and he's only in it because he's pretending to be rich, apparently, and he's got access to the cats to get threesomes, so he wants to hook up with other people. And it's like a redneck's paradise is what this is. It really is. And we mentioned this as well. I mean, the things guys will do to get laid, it's, you know, this is like next level to try to seduce a lady. And it works. That who knew that all you had to do was own a bunch of tigers and lions and all that, and that's all it would take, and the women love the tigers and the lions. And the beautiful, many of them beautiful young people who wanted to hang out. And some of these people were like working at this place. They were making no money, and they were getting to play with the tigers and the lions and all the other big cats. All right, final thing on the Maller film review. All right, so you have a little bit of everything in this, which makes for a good documentary. And this is not just a documentary. It's a whole damn series of these things. The twists, the turns, as we talked about. You even have somebody who loses an arm, bitten off essentially by a tiger. And one of my favorite parts was the Walmart truck, where they were supposed to take the expired meat from Walmart to feed the big cats, and they ended up like the people were making so little money that worked at this dopey zoo that they were eating the expired food because they were making next to nothing and working all these long days. It was just nuts. And the whole thing, he had some guy who used to work at Inside Edition who was like the video director for Joe Exotic, who reminded me, he had the same kind of look as Burt Sugar, my favorite guest on radio, the late, great Burt Sugar, sports historian, boxing pundit. I loved that guy. And this guy kind of reminded me of him. Rick Kirkham, I think is the guy's name. And that was pretty good. And just like Doc Mike has run for president every year for like the last 20 years, Doc Mike has run for president. This guy, Joe Exotic, he attempted to run for president, failed. Then he tried to run for governor in Oklahoma as a libertarian, but apparently he didn't know what a libertarian is. And I mean, we can go on and on. It's just great. And I actually would like to know. I'm gonna take the pulse of the people here on the show. We have a wide reach on this show, which is kind of cool. Have you ever been back in the day? Did you ever go to this little roadside zoo? If you know, Shaquille O'Neal even went. He said he was on a road trip from Dallas to Oklahoma City, and he saw a billboard on the side of the road, and he said, "I got to go check that place out." And so he then hung out like for a day with this guy Joe Exotic. But I'm curious if you went there. Like, it seemed wild and over the top. I wonder if it was exactly the way it was shown in the docuseries. And then, do you or do you know anyone that owns a big cat? As Koopa Loop pointed out, and they said this in the documentary, they claim that there are more big cats owned by people in the United States as just pets as opposed to in the wild. Now, Who knows if that's accurate or not? I don't know. I count in the wild, but they claim that's the way it is.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Here we go.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. Fire. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
All right, we bring in the Coop Da Loop.
But it's interesting to note that the Atlanta Falcons have yet to make any announcement on the signing of Todd Gurley. Now, this may be because the deal is contingent on Gurley passing his physical, which he can't fly to Atlanta to do because of all this going on. You think there's a chance of this falling through before that happens?
All right, so there's a chance, but it's like next to zero is the chance, right? A, the fact that the contract hasn't been announced as a done deal, I don't find that newsworthy because there's a pandemic going on. There's a number of contracts that have been agreed to that haven't officially been announced around the NFL. And by the way, the Falcons know what they're getting with Todd Gurley. They know he's never going to be totally healthy again. Otherwise, the Rams and their medical staff would not have cut bait. If Todd Gurley was going to return to form, and the Rams aren't always right, and they probably screwed this up. But if they didn't, I mean, they don't think he's ever going to be great again. And B, listen, Gurley going to the Falcons was done in part to pacify Julio Jones. If you believe the reports, Julio Jones was the campaign manager to bring Todd Gurley back to Georgia, where he played college football and play for the Atlanta Falcons now. And not actually getting Gurley signed on the dotted line, if they don't finish the deal, you're going to upset everything here. Now, also, a very good indicator of what's going to happen here is state-run NFL media. And I've been dabbling around looking at their website, and they are still reporting Todd Gurley to the Falcons. They're writing these stories about how Gurley's going to fit in. So for me, that's a done deal, although it's not official. The T's haven't been crossed. The I's haven't been dotted. All right, next.
Ben, you always say that the more interesting story is in the losing locker room.
That's right. The better story is in the losing locker room. That is correct.
Yeah. So what team do you think has had the worst offseason so far in the NFL?
All right. So this is easy here. The Bears. Chicago. Hello. First of all, listen, the Bears waffled on what to do at quarterback. They did nothing. Mitch Trubisky has been a flop. Rather than actually go out and replace him, they went halfway. You never succeed in life when you go halfway. The Bears franchise went out and got a big Hello Kitty Band-Aid and put it on the quarterback room in Nick Foles. Nick Foles is not the solution. He's going to end up being a backup. Mitch Trubisky would have to poop the bed not to continue to be the starting quarterback in Chicago. The Bears passed on a bunch of other quarterbacks, including Cam Newton, who's still available, Jameis Winston, and Tom Brady, and they don't intend to start Nick Foles. They're going to start Mitch Trubisky. Secondly, I'd also throw the Patriots in here for now. They get to wear the dunce cap. They have yet to fill the gaping holes they have at the skill position. Forget the quarterback. They need game-breaking talent, the wideout position. All right, next.
Now, there have been a lot of memes circulating featuring Jason Pierre-Paul's mangled hand recently. Now, JPP told TMZ that it doesn't bother him because he can still, quote, count dem racks with it.
Yeah.
Ben, would you blow up your hand if it meant having Jason Pierre-Paul money?
Oh, God, no. Are you kidding me, man? I mean, listen, there's a lot of things I would do. Mutilating my body is not. I'd get maybe a tattoo for $1 million or a piercing or something like that, but I'm not blowing off my hand for that kind of money. And listen, he's not even that rich. I'd have to get more than that. How do we do, Coop?
You pass this edition.
That's a winner. You put it on the board. That's a buzzer. That's a buzzer beater right there.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Now, Maller's Mountain of Money.
Good Lord, that's a lot of money.
Do you have what it takes to get to the top? Probably not.
All right, it is time now for another edition of Maller's Mountain Money as we have put the callers on this show into quarantine, appropriately enough, at least for a little while. Give me a good 40 minutes. But we will have some people play. These are not actual callers. These are game show contestants. Much different. Game show contestants. Clearly. And let's welcome them in here. Who do we have playing our game? Let's see. Oh, I get to choose. Oh, I get to choose. Oh, goody. I get to choose. We have, let's see here, Paul in Maine. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Ben. How you doing?
What's going on, Paul? How's everything in Maine this morning?
It's wonderful. Nice, cold, and wet.
Just the way you like it, right?
Oh, I love it. I love it.
All right. What brings you to the show here, Paul? Are you working right now? What brings you to the program?
Yes, I am working. I am currently driving as we speak.
All right. And are you a truck driver? Are you driving to work? What do you got going on?
I'm a truck driver.
Gotcha. All right. And you just drive locally in Maine, or do you go all over the Northeast corridor there, the New England states?
No, I just drive locally.
I got you. All right, well, very cool, Paul. All right, hold on a sec. Paul in Maine driving that truck around. You are going to play, and who else do we have here? Let's see. I think we'll go. Let's go with Ken in San Francisco. Hello, Ken.
Hello, Ben Maller.
There you go, Ken. Hanging out. No steak to serve right now, right? He just kind of chilling.
There's no steak. They're doing takeout, but it's not doing very well.
Oh, people aren't buying steak. Yeah, steak's the kind of thing. You go to a steakhouse, you want to eat at the steakhouse, right? I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You want the experience, the ambiance, and all that. That's a big part of the steak experience. But it sucks for you.
I've never told you. I have two kids. One is 4. One is 1. So this is like a new adventure.
Yeah. Well, listen, it is. You'll get through it, man. You're going to be okay. It'll take a little while. It's a bump. It's a good story to tell, though, Ken, years from now. It'll be a hell of a story. You can regale people with the story of this. All right, Ken, hold on a sec. Paul, who do you want to partner up with? You can play with me, Ben, Eddie, Roberto, or Coop Da Loop.
Give me Mr. Garcia, please.
All right, that's a bad decision by you.
He likes to win. Eddie. He likes to win.
Right. Ken, who do you want to partner up with, Ken, the steakhouse guy who's out of work right now because of the coronavirus?
Oh, well, thanks for that, but I'll go with you, sir.
All right. All right, Ken. It's Ken and Ben and Eddie and Paul. Why don't we do the categories real quick, Coop-a-loop, and then we'll get to the actual game in its entirety here. So what do we have on this edition?
Sure. Tonight we have the Van Gogh edition. Now, ooh. Vincent Van Gogh would have been 167 years old today.
Oh, wow. Happy birthday! Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cowboy will be wishing him happy birthday.
Yes, the categories are The Starry Night, The Potato Eaters, Cafe Terrace at Night, and Self-Portrait, all of which are works by Van Gogh.
You gotta
of course, everyone knows that. Oh, I only knew Starry Night. I didn't know the other ones. But anyway, go ahead.
Neither did I. I had to look it up.
Okay. Go ahead, Paul. Who do you... Pick the category, Paul.
Can I get The Starry Night?
You got it.
You're going chalk is what you're doing. You're going chalk.
It's the only one he could remember.
Exactly.
Ken, you've got The Potato Eaters, Cafe Terrace at Night, or Self-Portrait?
Cafe Terrace at Night.
Ooh, very exotic there. Cafe Terrace at Night. All right, everyone stay in place. No one leave their place on the set. We will have Maller's Mountain of Money, the Van Gogh edition. We'll get to that in its entirety, and we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
All right, we're getting into it. It's time now for Maller's Mountain of Money. We are honoring the 167th birthday this week of Mr. Van Gogh, Vincent Van Gogh, and this portion of the show brought to you by Discover Card. We treat you like you'd treat you. The categories have already been picked, and the teams have been set. We've got Paul driving a truck around Maine. He's teamed up with Eddie. My guy Ken in San Francisco, who just robbed his liquor cabinet, is teamed up with me. And Eddie, you're up first. Yes? Starry Night?
Yes, I believe so. Coop, you going to explain to Paul what we're doing here?
Paul, we need the first and last name of the athlete. You're going to have 45 seconds to get through the list. The category is the Starry Night. All of these athletes have been All-Star Game MVPs. 45 seconds of the clock. Are you ready, Paul?
Yes, I am.
All right, begin.
Current Lakers forward, the unibrow. He was with the Pelicans.
Anthony Davis.
Best small player in the NBA, arguably former 76ers star point guard. The answer.
Allen Iverson.
Former Oriole shortstop. He played in the most consecutive games ever.
Cal Ripken Jr.
Japanese star outfielder with the Mariners. He was a slap hitter. Lots of hits.
Ichiro Suzuki.
Yes. Former Golden State star in the 90s. He was a part of Run TMC with Tim Hardaway and Chris Mullin.
Mitch Richmond.
Yes. Former Celtics old school guard back in the day. His nickname was Tiny.
Archibald. Shoot, I can't.
I know.
I can't remember.
That's the guy. Nate Archibald. That was a tough one, though. Yeah, everybody
knew his
Tiny. I didn't know his first name either, to be honest with you. But that's all right. That's all right.
Grab ass. Good job. Good job. Here, Coop.
160 points.
Not bad.
160. All right. We got this. We got this. Come on, Ken.
All right. We're going over to Ken and Ben.
Boy, Ken, you are feeling no pain right now, my man. You are.
He's about to feel some pain after playing
I feel like you're about to pass out here. All right, anyway, let's play the game. And all right, what is the category here?
You guys have Cafe Terrace at night. These athletes all own restaurants.
That narrows it down.
45 seconds on the clock.
Here we go.
Begin.
All right, just the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers right now. That's you mumbled it, but sure. Broncos GM, he was in the Super Bowl with the Broncos back in the 80s and the 90s. Actually, in the 90s, too. Yeah.
Elway.
What's his first
John
name?
Elway.
That is correct. A golfer known for a drink mixing lemonade and iced tea.
Arl Palmer.
That is correct. A running back out of Oklahoma. He won the Heisman Trophy in 1978. Played for the Lions.
1978, pass.
All right. Nicknamed Clyde for the 1970s Knicks. TV guy, fashion icon.
He did better than I thought he would, to be honest with you.
I don't know.
You got 60 points.
Eddie, I feel like I should be spotted some points here. I feel like I should be spotted some points.
No, I don't think so.
Ken, would you like the potato eaters or self-portrait?
Self-portrait.
Is somebody punking me? Am I getting punked here? What is going on?
By the way, right. Back in 19...
We don't have time. We don't have time.
Let's play the damn game.
Right, I literally have a self-portrait of myself.
All right, I don't care. Nobody cares.
With
all right.
Ben Mallers.
Hit the music. All right. Play the game.
These athletes all suffer from mental illness. 45 seconds. Begin.
All right. Star receiver known for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was traded to the Raiders last year.
Oh, that's the...
All right. He's a guard for the Cleveland Cavaliers. The internet legend is he slept with LeBron James' mom.
Who hasn't?
This is going well. 1980s Mets outfielder, the big star for the Mets, along with Doc Gooden.
Got it.
I couldn't. I said, is that? All right, what are we doing here? I mean, geez.
Right. He's feeling no pain, though.
This is what I get, Eddie. It's the caller. It's the hour of hell, is what it is. Radio hell.
I think Paul wins.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I think so.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, Paul, by really doing nothing other than just being sober, you were able to win the game.
That's half the battle.
If Ben Mallers could stop talking for 1 second. In these days, this is humor. I'm providing humor.
You are.
Yes,
I'm
you
not
are.
Providing.
Right. Yes, you are.
Really?
Yes. Ken, do
really?
Not go. All right, we're going to hang up on you, Ken. Thank you. Not that I wouldn't love to spend the rest of the time I have here talking to you, Ken.
Mumbling Ken.
And he didn't cuss on the air either.
Yeah,
so.
Good job by him. Yeah. That's good point, Roberto.
Yeah, I was waiting for that. I was just waiting for the other shoe to drop there. You know, it's bound to happen that
Aaron Rodgers.
it was going to be a boondoggle, but yeah. Well, I've talked about in the past, there's four types of drunks, and I don't know if he's a Hemingway where he doesn't change his personality, or the Mary Poppins becomes sweeter. I don't think he was that sweet. Was he that? I don't think he was that happy. But
I thought he was pretty happy.
You think so? Yeah. So you think he's a Mary Poppins type drunk where he's sweeter and happier? Yeah. He's definitely was not hostile, because he's not the Mr. Hyde, because the Mr. Hyde kind would curse and yell and all that stuff. And probably not the Nutty Professor. You come more social like that way. But either way, listen, Paul, you win a golden ticket. Yeah. Congratulations. And really, I don't think you really earned it.
That's another win for me.
Oh, come on, Eddie. You don't get credit. No, you do not get credit.
I don't get credit. Of course I get credit.
The guy that I was partnered up with should be attending an AA meeting is what he should be doing right now.
I don't disagree, but you still lose, and I still win.
But I didn't lose.
That's a winner!
I had no chance of winning the damn game is what happened. Please, I was set up to lose.